disperse immediately or you will be subject to arrest with now.
A boss ain't nothing but a thief on a time loan. 128 bit war, you play Nintendo on some shooter, so put the bridge down and feed us to the killer bees. We get what we deserve, life. Bury me with my MP3s. Write my manifesto in 72 DPI. Life's just a game, you got cheated, never learn. I write these songs every bridge that ain't been burned. For every cop car that ain't been turned.
Welcome to This Is America, August 3rd, 2018. There's a lot happening this weekend. Starting today, people in Tacoma, Washington are calling for backup in the face of threats from Patriot Prayer and the Proud Boys, who have vowed on social media to disrupt and attack those protesting outside of the ICE facility. In Portland on Saturday, a popular mobilization, or the Pop Mob, is coming together in order to support the community self-defense work of anti-fascists and also to counter, en masse, the Patriot Prayer rally happening along the waterfront. It is unknown how many people are going to show up in support of Patriot Prayer. However, they have been heavily promoted on InfoWars and other far-right platforms, and we know that members of the far-right and the alt-right are mobilizing across the country to attend the event. Also on Saturday, in Providence, Rhode Island, people are coming together to counter-protest Resist Marxism, a pan-far-right group which includes outright neo-Nazis. The next day in Berkeley, California, people are gathering to confront Proud Boys and other far-right supporters who are set to rally. Many far-right supporters are expected to travel from Portland to Berkeley as well. These rallies will set the tone for the upcoming Unite the Right demonstrations in Charlottesville and DC, which will then be followed by rallies organized by Resist Marxism on August 18th. In other words, it's important that we all not only support these mobilizations, but do everything we can to make them large, successful, and keep each other as safe as possible. As we recently argued in a larger text, the far right is attempting to reconstitute a broad street fighting force whose principal aims are to attack whatever is seen as the left and support the Trump presidency. At the same time, the Trumpian state moves to support grassroots far right proto-fascist movements more and more, while under the pressure of the Mueller investigation, it becomes more and more unstable and afraid. With our eyes towards this weekend, we then present the following interview with somebody from Pop Mob, or Popular Mobilization, in Portland. Pop Mob is a broad coalition of faith, community, labor, and anti-racist groups who are uniting to mobilize against the Patriot Prayer Rally tomorrow on August 4th. Stay safe, and we will see you soon.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the renegades in this atomic age. This atomic age, we're renegades. Renegades in this atomic age. This atomic age, we're renegades. Since a prehistoric ages, in the days of ancient Greece, what down through the Middle Ages, planet Earth kept going through changes, and in the Renaissance came, and times continue to change. Nothing stayed the same, but they were always renegades. Like Chief Sable, Tom Payne, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, they were renegades of their time and age. So many renegades.
Occupy ICE in Sacramento, California has unfortunately been cleared. However, actions continue to remain ongoing. In Tacoma, Washington, people came out to protest a tattoo parlor run by neo-Nazis. Occupy ICE in San Antonio, Texas keeps going strong, organizing actions against ICE after an attempted attack by the neo-Nazi group Patriot Front, which is a patriot rebranding of Vanguard America, the group connected to the murder of Heather Hare in Charlottesville in August of 2017. Members of Patriot Front came to the camp last weekend, knocking over several items before quickly leaving as a group. People at the camp report that only a few coolers were damaged and things quickly returned to normal. In Philly, after the Occupy ICE encampment was evicted, another camp led by houseless African-American organizers was established, in part to combat stop-and-frisk policies used by the police. Arrests and repression soon followed, specifically on July 31st when police brutally attacked a march. However, action continues and a new encampment is now being set up and supplies are needed. Check our show notes for ways to find out more information. Picket actions continued in Detroit against ICE. In San Francisco, Occupy ICE held a vigil, as did Portland. In Tacoma, noise demonstrations continued day in and day out. In LA, Occupy ICE celebrated over 43 days of encampment. And in Denver, at a newly informed encampment, lockdowns against ICE were carried out, leading to several arrests. In Chicago, the Autonomous Tenants Union, along with a newly formed Kimball Tenants Union, held a rally and press conference addressing horrible conditions at Stark Holdings apartments. In the LA area, people organized an anti-gentrification free store that was very well attended. Fascist alt-right and neo-Nazi stickers, flyers, and graffiti were cleaned up and destroyed in a variety of cities, including Berkeley, Beckley, and Denver. In Vancouver, Canada, people painted a mural to honor Nia Wilson, who was murdered in Oakland last week. Actions continued against the Mountain Valley Pipeline in Appalachia, with lockdowns and protests taking place. See our show notes for pictures and tweets. Actions also continued against the BioBridge Pipeline, as lockdowns and protests continued to delay construction. In other big news, a tree sit has been launched and it is now in its third week. Groups like FANG have also been busy carrying out solidarity actions outside of banks. See our show notes for multiple pictures of what's going down. On Tuesday, a wildcat strike took place in a warehouse in Dangerfield, Indianapolis, and the video of it has now gone viral. As one report wrote, a small number of Latino workers, welders, conveyor installers, and so on, working for a different contractor but in the same hub, were ordered home after disobeying the orders of a white boss many people called racist. In response, the entire group of workers, over 100 in Dangerfield's estimation, walked out. In the LA region of Southern California, rent strikes continue with more and more tenant groups starting to take action. Also in Portland, Oregon, a rent strike has also been launched. Also in the LA area, banners were dropped in support of the prison strike. See IGD for a collection of support events that are about to kick off across the United States. In some great news, Glo Merriweather from the Charlottesville Uprising had their charges dropped by the district attorney. The fight continues, however, with more comrades still facing charges. In a neighborhood of New York, after neo-Nazis from Identity Europa did a banner drop and held a flash demo outside the Mexican consulate, hundreds pour out for a rally the next day against them. Marches and protests took place in Indianapolis after police were let off the hook for the killing of Thurman Belvins. Water protector and political prisoner Red Fawn has a new address, so please write to her. Also, a very happy birthday to anarchist prisoner Eric King. Neo-Nazi in Asheville with ties to the Truceless Workers Party has been fired from their job, thanks to local anti-fascists who alerted the community with flyers and a well-researched document. On the Quebec border, from one report, quote, workers at a steel minerals mine near the Quebec border have been sent home after a blockade was set up by members of the First Nations community concerned with environmental impact. Lastly, in Texas, from Vox, quote, 500 fathers being held in an immigrant detention facility in Texas after reunification with their children have announced a hunger strike on Wednesday out of frustration and despair over being, quote, restrained from our freedom as human beings, as one father put it. The fathers involved in the strike plan to sit down in three public patio areas within the residential facility, one of the family centers in Texas in which reunified families have been held, and refuse food. Their children have also agreed to a modified strike in which they were refused to take part in activities. That's going to do it for us today. Enjoy the interviews, stay safe in the streets, and we will see you soon. Okay, we're joined here today with somebody that's going to be speaking for Pop Mob, or Popular Mobilization. It's a large-scale coalition of community, faith, labor, and different community-based groups that are organizing to counter-protest Patriot Prayer and the Proud Boys. I hate saying that, Patriot Prayer and the Proud Boys. It sounds like an 80s like post-punk band or something. But, counter-mobilizing against Patriot Prayer and the Proud Boys. We're going to be talking about the history of Patriot Prayer and the violence that they've been bringing to the Pacific Northwest, a history of specific and targeted acts of violence against community members, and why people in Portland are showing up in a large way this weekend. But do you just want to introduce yourself real quick?
Sure. My name is Effie Baum. I'm a member of the Pop Mob and as well as a member of the local General Defense Committee.
Awesome.
Here in Portland. Yeah.
And can you just explain to people what Pop Mob is and what is its goal right now?
Sure. So Pop Mob, which is short, as you said, for popular mobilization, is a group that kind of that came together after the violence on June 30th to kind of unite around basically a single goal, which is inspiring more people to come out and resist the alt-right and mostly Patriot Prayer, Joey Gibson and his Proud Boys. It's a pretty broad coalition of folks built up of folks from a lot of different walks of life. There's activists and organizers from labor rights, from education, from healthcare. It's really kind of trying to like have more of a diverse group of folks who all have that single like goal and be able to kind of, in addition to the folks that are already showing up, try to basically get more folks out, bigger numbers, because we know we outnumber them. We know that people in Portland don't want this. Mm-hmm. We just need to get them to show up.
So let's just kind of start down to add some context to this. How does Joey Gibson see Portland? He has done a series of live streams where he refers to it as a dark city. These are his words, filled with criminals, and that he and his compatriots need to go, because Joey Gibson, just to be clear, he's running for Senate as a Republican, even though he supposedly identifies as some sort of libertarian. But he's running for a Republican in a different state other than where Portland is, which is in Oregon. He's running for Senate in Washington, but he's continuing to go down to cities in Oregon because he says that they, like I said, dark cities filled with criminals, and that he needs to bring his compatriots who respect God and support the Constitution and love freedom to, basically wipe the scum off the streets. In fact, on the 30th, he referred to, cleansing the streets. And I'm just curious, what does he mean by this language, and how do people in Portland respond to this?
You know, I can't even begin to try to imagine what he means, because it is so completely bananas that it's complete nonsense. I think it's interesting that he is still trying to hide behind the Bible when everything that he does when he comes to the city is to incite violence. And that seems very, I'm not a Christian myself, but that seems very ungodlike to me, although I guess depending on which version of God you believe in, but it seems very unchristian-like, as it were. So as far as like Portland's response, I think that the majority of Portland knows that he's a joke, and also knows that he is like showing up for one reason and one reason only, and that is to get in street brawls and incite violence and get attention for himself. And so basically, it's created this divide of folks that like just basically ignore it because they don't take him seriously, or folks that show up actively to defend our communities from the violence that he brings into our city.
And let's just talk about the 30th, because from Gibson's side, the way that they tell it is that, they held a rally in Portland to basically just promote free speech, to have a march. And, according to them, what they do is they go out and they, march for the Constitution, they march for freedom of speech, and that, simply because of those things, because of what they represent, the Constitution, freedom of speech, these very like neutral, even positive things, that they are attacked by anti-fascists and just, out of control criminals and so on and so forth. And that they basically went out and, they were attacked at their march and they defended themselves. And that's basically the violence that we saw. How would you respond to that narrative of what happened on June 30th?
I think that there's two things. One is that we do have a right to free speech in this country. And I think a lot of people forget that you have the right to say what you want, but you don't have a right to not deal with the consequences of what you say. And that you can say whatever the hell you want, but there may be consequences to that speech. And I think what we're seeing is the consequences of his speech. And he, his claims of being the victim and being attacked is absurd, considering he's bringing people in specifically with violence and violent intent. Otherwise, why otherwise would they be showing up with weapons and body armor if they weren't intending to engage in violent activity? And I think that the violence that happens is on the part of defending our communities. And when we're talking about people coming into our city that don't even live here and like spewing these like ideas of hate, in addition to the fact that known like white supremacist and white nationalist and neo-Nazi groups are showing up to his events, that any violence that's happening is defensive because we're defending the people that live in our city and the vulnerable communities that can't come out and defend themselves.
Right. I mean, when we heard the rhetoric, you know, we can listen to the speeches that they give. I mean, there was one gentleman that showed up, Proud Boy, also a member of the Three Percenters, that was talking about taking migrants' head and slamming them against the concrete to murder them and forcibly separating their children. This is the same individual that the organizers in Berkeley say that is going to be speaking on August 5th. So, I mean, you know, this is the rhetoric that they're putting out. And again, I mean, freedom of speech is supposed to protect you from the government censoring you. It doesn't have anything to do with other people showing up and say, you know what, actually, you're a dumbass. You know, shut the fuck up. You know,
precisely. I would say that speech like that in and of itself is violence. Mm-hmm. So, like, making those kinds of statements of, like, wanting to kill folks, like, that in and of itself is something that needs to be defended against. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And let's talk about some of these people that that Gibson has really kind of centered around himself. It seems like in the past couple months, the sort of so-called everyday Trump supporter has kind of fallen away. And more who's coming out are people that are involved in a group called the Proud Boys, which is led by Gavin McGinnis, a millionaire and one of the co-founders of Vice magazine. He no longer runs the publication, but he has a show on, right-wing media called Get Off My Lawn. Some of the Proud Boys were out at Unite the Right. Also, their military formation, Folk Fraternal Order of Alt Knights, also fought in Charlottesville. And they've kind of been on the scene for a lot of these far-right demonstrations. But who are the people that are coming out to these demonstrations on Joey's side?
It is, as I said before, like on June 30th, there was a lot more Proud Boys that we had seen prior. And then in addition to that, we've also, like, his rallies have been attended by folks from a number of different, like, neo-Nazi groups, including, like, neo-Nazi prison gangs and people from, like, Identity Europa and other, like, groups that have been identified as, like, white supremacist neo-Nazi hate groups. And the Proud Boys being, like, what do they call themselves? The, like, Western chauvinists, like, actually a very misogynist organization that basically has built themselves on being a bunch of street brawlers who revel in violence. And so it doesn't make any sense for Joey Gibson to continue to, like, talk about how his entire platform is on free speech and the Constitution when he's surrounding himself with folks whose speech is all based in violence and getting in bro-y street attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's so bizarre because if you go on, like, Joey Gibson's, like, campaign platform, like, you know, he has, like, these pretty basic milquetoast, you know, really centrist positions. You know, it's kind of bizarre. Like, he's, for instance, he says on his campaign website, he's, like, for gay marriage. But one of the centerpieces of the people that have always come out to support him are is this group called the Hell Shaken Street Preachers, which essentially are extremely homophobic, extremely transphobic, misogynistic, you know, violent group of men who some of them actually identify as white nationalists. But I mean, like, for instance, from what we understand, go to things like Pride and try to harass people. But I mean, they've been by Joey's side since the beginning. And he openly talks about that contradiction. But I think therein lies the real essence of what Joey Gibson's project is. It's not really about, like, an ideology or a certain set of ideas or even principles or things that he's fighting for or a cause.
But as he said before, it's really about creating a far right coalition that can attack, you know, quote unquote, the left or any sort of sizable social movement. And I think that's why we've seen him in the past couple weeks gravitate more towards trying to come out to these Occupy ICE protests and trying to fuck with people there.
True. And they also, he showed up at Pride in Portland this year.
Yeah.
And he's there with folks like protesting Pride. So I find it incredibly ironic that his campaign page says he supports gay marriage when literally a month ago he was protesting at Pride.
Right.
Like,
right.
Talk about cognitive dissonance. So it's absolutely absurd. The man, like, says one thing, his actions say something completely different.
My friends will beat you today, but I will support your freedom to marry tomorrow.
Yeah.
Vote like, for me, Joey Gibson.
Vote for me, Portland, where none of you are going to be voting in an election next year.
I can't
state.
Vote, so I can do whatever I want. And the police protect me. Well, let's switch gears. So over the course of the past few months, people associated with Gibson have gone from just engaging in violence at demonstrations to actually physically attacking people on the streets. Can we talk about that? And also just for people in Portland, I mean, how have they reacted to these attacks? I mean, basically, you know, some of Joey's friends are just driving around in trucks and yelling yep. pro-Trump slogans, and then they're beating people up. I mean, how do people in Portland feel about this?
Well, I think that, I mean, in my opinion, there are folks that obviously are aware of it, but how can I say this? So obviously there's the folks that are showing up to his events that are angry about this, that have seen this. And one of the people that like you're referencing, I think, is Tiny, who has been kind of like one of Joey's like right hand men for several of these events, and who was recently, you know, identified as somebody who was harassing like a 17-year-old kid at the mall, in Washington and Vancouver. And like, ultimately it was, a kid who was, a person of color, and unfortunately the kid ended up getting arrested, even though it was instigated by Tiny and the other person that he was with. And he's also been cited and arrested several times for violence and assault at protests. And so there's also been unidentified folks, but several folks have been attacked by like, what they describe as like men driving around in a pickup truck attacking people. There were some comrades of ours who were attacked after Patriot Prayer showed up at the Occupy ICE camp that evening. There were two different attacks that were that happened in the city on folks that were seen at Occupy by folks from Patriot Prayer that had been at Occupy and recognized them later outside of the encampment that just happened to cross each other in the street. And three nights ago, it's all over Facebook. There is an account of a person who was sexually assaulted by four men in a truck who they are saying were Proud Boys. Right now, there is no information to further identify who those four men were to verify that they were in fact Proud Boys. But I tend to believe victims, and right now that person is not able to give more information due to the trauma from the attack, but that is also something that is being talked about actively in Portland right now.
Yeah, I mean, from people that we've talked to, this kind of brings back memories of, you know, neo-Nazi skinheads in the late 80s and early 1990s that, you know, engaged in very similar acts of, you know, seemingly random violence, but of course, you know, very targeted against different communities of people.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's actually something that I personally have had that conversation with so many folks in the last week or two, because some of the parallels are frightening. Mm-hmm. In terms of like, you know, looking at like, you're referencing like the murder of Sarah, the Ethiopian student, by East Side White Pride in 1988. And at that time, there was also like a lot of other like neo-Nazi groups active in Portland, and very like active like bonehead racist skinhead groups within like the punk music scene. And there's a lot of violence and fighting happening around town. And I think that one of the things about Pop Mob, like when I got involved in it, was it immediately reminded me of what happened in Portland at that time, because following Sarah's murder, there was a bunch of different organizations in Portland that kind of started to pop up. And in response to that, formed a coalition of like 30 organizations that ultimately led a rally in 1990 during Metzger's trial, who was ultimately found guilty in a civil suit for Sarah's murder. And they brought out thousands of people, despite the fact that like there was a very active campaign to discredit them in the media, and that the local police were doing everything in their power to like disrupt this rally from happening. They still had thousands of people show up. And following a lot of that activity, there were a lot of other like violent events that occurred. There were deaths on both sides. But ultimately, people coming together chased out a lot of those groups and chased them underground. And for the last 20 years or so, we didn't see as much of that activity, except for like small bursts here and there, up until the resurgence with Patriot Prayer and other groups like that in the last 2 years.
Yeah. And what's, you know, scary about this time is that if you look at Patriot Prayer, I mean, you know, like people like Roger Stone, who's a longtime, you know, Republican operative that, you know, works at InfoWars, and then, you know, also outlets like InfoWars that have like a very large reach. I mean, they're very much behind Patriot Prayer. I know Alex Jones has given several thousand dollars to the organizers of the event in Berkeley, but it seems very much so that what they're trying to get out of these rallies in August is to try to like leave behind the stain of Unite the Right last year, and that they kind of want to come out of this with a new coalition, you know, that involves everyone on the far right that can really engage in violence against social movements on the ground, especially at a time when the Trump administration, you know, looks on the outside very weak. You know, it's being attacked from different segments of the elites, and also is, you know, losing support at its base. And, you know, most people don't like Trump. So, you know, now would be the time for a very violent street movement to kind of come into existence that can support the state. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing groups like Patriot Prayer and neo-Nazi groups like Patriot Front coming out and attacking Occupy ICE encampments and things like that.
Exactly. And doing the work of the police and doing the work of the state.
Right. Yeah. And especially, I mean, that works out for the state, because then it doesn't have to appear like it's so heavy handed and it's, you know, coming down and smashing on people to that would then bring out another response. Instead, if you have groups like, you know, the Proud Boys or Patriot Front, they can do it. And, you know, they can just look like a bunch of mean thugs, and that's fine. And
the cops get to come and basically wage violence against the left by saying that they're breaking up a riot, as opposed to
right
actually happening.
Well, do you just want to talk about the work that's been going into getting ready for this? I mean, there's so many different organizations that we've seen that have signed on, from like faith-based groups to labor unions to activist organizations. What kind of things are you all doing to kind of get ready for this Saturday?
So you're right. So we've reached out to a lot of different organizations and groups within Portland, including like labor unions, as well as like immigrant rights groups and like other different, I mean, even like some gyms, like even like some privately owned businesses have signed up to support us. And so it is a pretty wide coalition of folks that are coming together and doing a lot of outreach to their bases, because it is a really diverse group of people. And so reaching out, using all of the tools at our disposal to try and get as many folks out as possible, because, you know, we saw in Boston, 40,000 people showed up to their rally, that alt-right rally in Boston. And what we know is that the majority of Portlanders don't support the message of Patriot Prayer and the Proud Boys and groups like that. And it's just a matter of creating a event where they feel safe coming out and supporting the action, because the violence of June 30th, as all of us like either witnessed firsthand or witnessed watching it happen online is something that deters a lot of folks from showing up otherwise. And so a big part of PopMob's goal was to create a large coalition of folks that could basically provide safety in numbers, and also like encouraging people to come out because their neighbors and their friends were coming out. And so that way we can just show up in mass, and it's a lot harder for a handful of them to like attack a huge group of people. But we also want to show up and support the folks that have been doing the community defense all along.
So what would you say to somebody that's listening to this, that's kind of on the fence, and they're saying like, I think Joey Gibson is, you know, like nobody that I want to associate with. I'm definitely not going to move to Washington and vote for him. But at the same time, like, I don't know what protesting will do. You know, why should I go out to the demonstrations, especially if there's going to be a threat of violence? What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say that, like, while I believe it's really important to get as many people out there as possible, I also understand that there's a number of reasons that folks have for not being able to show up and engage in that way. And what I would say is that there's a lot of other ways that people can engage. Like, number one, I would love to see as many people down there as possible. Absolutely. We have a rally that's happening at City Hall starting at 10:30 that is going to have speakers from a variety of the groups that have endorsed us. And it's a good place to, like, it's away from the waterfront where Patriot Prayer has said that they're going to be. And so folks can come and like see that there's like folks there and kind of start to feel like more comfortable. And then the idea is we're going to move en masse as a group down to the waterfront to support the folks that are showing up to the waterfront to basically deny Patriot Prayer a platform. And so for folks that are nervous, I would say that like that's one option, is that we have this basic way to meet up ahead of time and go in a group so that you don't have to feel nervous showing up with just a few of you. The other thing I would say is that for folks who don't have the ability, whether it's because they are not physically capable, people that have, you know, different reasons that like would prevent them from being downtown, there are other ways that you can engage other than being the direct action. Following the action, there will likely be a need for jail support, which basically entails hanging out at the jail and waiting for comrades that have been arrested to be released, and basically being a welcoming party with food and snacks. And that's a way to engage, where you're just hanging out with folks basically in a park or outside of the jail and providing support to people without being directly engaged when there is a risk of violence. There's also, people are doing phone banks to get folks out. You can volunteer ahead of time to like try and like encourage other people to come out if it's not something you can do. You can also provide material support, like donating to jail support, donating to medical bills for folks that do end up being victims of violence, bringing food, donating food, providing rides for people to and from the event. There's a lot of ways that folks can engage and show up that would fit their capacity.
Yeah, and also just getting the word out, you know, sharing stuff on social media, calling into radio stations, putting up flyers, all that stuff is definitely something that needs to happen.
Yes. So I would say that there's something, everybody can do something.
Yeah. And especially too, you know, even again, if you can't go to something like this, if you're part of, you know, a church, or, you know, whether it's like a knitting circle, or you go play soccer with friends on the weekends, you know, like tapping into your own social circles and encouraging people to come out is huge.
I think so too. And I think that when folks like say like, hey, this is a thing that I'm going to, and kind of start to change the conversation from, I think that, you know, there are people that aren't showing up because they have in their mind a certain mindset of who they think shows up
exactly
to these sorts of events. And I think that when folks have conversations and are like, you know what, I think this is really important and this is something that I'm going to go to, that it starts to like show that there is actually like a lot of different kinds of people that support showing up and fighting against this organization and other organizations like it.
Right. And, you know, also just on a positive note, I mean, you know, we can come out of August having, you know, organized mass mobilizations, feeling really good about it, and also looking back and say, you know, a year after Unite the Right, you know, the far right tried to again reconstitute itself, and they haven't grown. There's mass opposition, and, you know, people don't want that shit. They don't want an insurgent, you know, violent movement that's trying to attack us as individuals, and they also don't want an insurgent violent movement that's whose only goal is to support the Trump administration. You know, we don't want either version of it.
Absolutely. And I think that even like one of the things about like Pop Mob and the reason that we tried to reach out to so many different groups is that even though we may not agree on every single ideological point, like there's groups from a lot of different like, you know, political factions that may not like agree on every single thing, but they all can agree that they're against white supremacy, and they can all agree that they're against homophobia and transphobia and sexism. And I think that a lot of folks don't realize that like we have at least those like core values in common. So even though we may not agree on like how best to like, you know, go about other areas of life, we can all unite specifically just around the fact that we are against that kind of hate.
Well, just in closing, for people that want to find out more about Pop Mob or just want more information about the mobilization itself, where can they go to get more info?
So we do have a Facebook group for Pop Mob as well as an event for this weekend. If they want to reach out to us directly, we have an email, which is popmob18. So that's popmob18. 1-8, the numbers not spelled out, @gmail.com. And then we also have a phone number, which is 971-361-6173. And we are still putting together like in folks that want to endorse the action. So if there are organizations out there that haven't signed on that want to contact us and sign on and endorse it, that's also a great way to reach us, is at that email address.
Awesome. Thanks so much for talking with us, and best of luck to you, and stay safe. Is there anything else that you want to touch on or talk about?
I think we've pretty much covered it. Thanks for having us on your show.
Thanks so much. Be safe out there and keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks. You too.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us, and follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.